Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
$12.55 today. We've got a pair of tickets that could be yours for the Nationals as they take on the Marlins at Nats Park at 10:30. Reuben Foster to injured reserve, out for the year. Who are the least replaceable, the most irreplaceable Redskins? The guys that, in the wake of a season-ending injury, you put a list together, you say, this guy had better stay healthy. He may get bitten by the injury bug, and if that happens, they're in big, big trouble. We'll get into that later this hour on Grant and Danny. Daniel, no rain right now outside.
Right.
It's kind of pleasant. Construction's being done. It's the worst places to be
It is a mild temperature. Last couple of days, delightful. Just outside, man. Just outside. Sign me up for as much of that as I can get. I don't like the standing sweat of the previous day. I don't like that. I don't like it when it's too cold. Give me this Goldilocks temperature that it's been the last couple of days.
What did we do for dinner last night? Anything good?
Rockland's Barbecue. So I'm out and about. The kids are acting up, and we got to get them out of the house. We're just out. We're playing basketball. We're going to the playground. We're doing a million things. I'm just hauling kids and whatever.
Is it just you, or do you have the help of the wife?
Oh, it's just me, and I'm waiting on the wife to get home. It's one of those things where if I go back, it's going to be hell. If I get back there before her, I'll have times where I'm just ISO'd, and it just they're two-on-one, and they ruin everything. So we stopped at Rockland's. We happened to see a friend there. I got delicious barbecue. They have grilled wings, which I love so much. Got my wife a pulled chickie. And always good. Every time. They deliver every time. I love that place.
So Albert Breer is going to be on the show at 11. There's some news on the NFL front that we could have pass interference calls reviewable. There's some technicalities. Breer's got all the details.
Yeah.
So we'll have him on to explain in 55 minutes on Grant and Danny. Here's where I want to start. We pick our spots with the Nats at this point on this show. They are bad. There's just no other way to say it. They're 19-29. They're the only team in baseball that has not won three straight games this year. They are the second to worst team in the National League. Everybody else is better than them.
Fourth worst in baseball. They're the only team that's trying to win that's not winning. That's an important distinction.
Very Wizards-like, believe it or not, from the Nationals. Last night is the embodiment in a lot of ways of their season because they scratched and they clawed and they fought like heck. And they actually didn't just get back into a game. They took two leads late in the game, and they should have won. You look at how often they lose by a run or two. I mean, they are competitive every single night just about. It's pretty staggering. But they lose almost every single night at this point. Eric Fetty made his first start of the year. He was very good.
He was great.
Five innings, one run. He was better than Jeremy Hellickson has been at any point. He was better than Anibal Sanchez has been at any point. He gave you basically what you are desperate for from either of those two veterans in the back of your rotation, and you're not getting. That was a huge win. Brian Dozier's hitting .300 in the last week and is on pace now for upper 20s home runs. He's gotten his bat going a little bit. He hits a two-run homer. They take a lead in the seventh. They give up three runs to fall behind in the bottom of the seventh on a Wander Suero three-run home run on his worst pitch, a curveball up. Then in the eighth inning, they're now down a run. Matter of fact, Allison says to me, hey, let's watch something else. The game's over. I said, I'm not going to watch something else right now. The game's not over yet. They're only down a run. They have two innings left.
And she said, give me a second.
She said, how long are you going to do this for? When is your spirit going to break? She literally asked me that last night. I said, they're going to come back. I promise you they're going to come back. Next half inning, Howie Kendrick base hit, Trey Turner double, Juan Soto double. They take a lead again, two runs. I said, see, I told you they're going to win the game. And then they give up a home run to tie the game in the eighth, and then they lose the game in the ninth. If that's exasperating for you as a fan and demoralizing for you as a fan.
Imagine you're a baseball player on the Nationals.
Imagine you're Juan Soto, who hit an 800-foot home run last night and the double to give them the lead. Imagine you're Kendrick, who came in off the bench cold to get that big hit, or Turner, who had a hell of an at-bat against Familia. Imagine you're one of those guys that's doing everything you can, and it's never enough. There's no worse clubhouse to be in than a clubhouse where a bullpen just cannot protect the lead.
And it's undone many teams, including this one a few years ago when they blew a bunch of leads early, when they tried to have Blake Treinen as a late inning guy, when they had Rafael Soriano blowing saves. I mean, it's happened. It's the worst because you feel like you got to win the game two, three, four, five different times. I mean, everything that's bad was on display once again last night. I think they had two hits through seven innings off Zach Wheeler, who everybody hits, and the Soto bomb. Then they rally, and they got six hits over the last basically two innings to take a lead, and they coughed it up, vomited it up. I mean, this bullpen is so horrendous. It's so bad that what happens, and I don't blame Davey Martinez for this, anybody that shows any decency, if you get an out that's uneventful, you now have a high leverage spot the very next time. And probably you're going two innings. Wander Suero looked good his first inning of work. Right? He did. He looked good. Well, you got the high leverage.
Better than the alternative.
Tanner Rainey down in the minors as of 48 hours ago. You're my new eighth inning guy because you threw a strike when you came in the other day. It's embarrassing. Honestly, it's embarrassing.
Well, and it's not even necessarily that like they appointed Tanner Rainey to the eighth inning because he's great or anything. Look at their other options.
I know.
Matt Grace pitched right before him. His ERA is over 8. Kyle Bearclaw pitched right after him. His ERA is basically 5. He's allowed 8 of 9 inherited runners to score. They have no options.
Yeah, there are no options. There's nobody that's any good.
And everyone says, well, Mike Rizzo built a terrible bullpen.
Yes.
Well, Bearclaw is a great example of why that's not completely true. Kyle Bearclaw, look at his numbers with the Marlins. Just because you guys don't watch him in Miami the last 3 years and don't know anything about him doesn't mean he stinks. He was great with the Marlins for years. He is terrible here now. That is unequivocally correct. But the addition of Bearclaw by Rizzo, that's a 65-appearance, 7th-inning arm you don't have to worry about. That's one inning I just checked off my to-do list if I'm a general manager. The fact that he's been awful, that's not necessarily on Rizzo. Now, you can make some other tweaks and you can make some other declarations about where they screwed up in the bullpen, and you'd be right. But there are also guys that are just underperforming and underachieving. Speaking of Rizzo, he was on with the Junkies today. And the question that we wanted to delve into is one that he was actually basically asked, which is, have you given up on the Nationals making the playoffs yet? I'm going to watch every game. I love baseball. I thoroughly enjoy watching this team. So in August and in September, I'll still sit there and watch 9 innings. I know I'm in the minority. But I don't right now give them any real chance to make the playoffs. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're 9 games back. Everyone over talks about how many games back they are. How many games back you are on May 22nd does not matter that much when the team you're chasing is just kind of okay, which is what I perceive the Phillies to be. What matters way more is their rotation is not good. Their bullpen is not good. Their lineup's been very solid since they got healthy, but over the duration of the season has not been good enough. They're not a good team. Win 3 straight games once. How about string 2 in a row together, tying your season long? How about play 9 straight innings where no reliever gives up a lead, nobody commits an error, and you aren't terrible with runners in scoring position? And after you play those 9 innings, then we can discuss the playoffs. But I've given up hope that they're going to make the playoffs. Danny's given up hope that they're going to make the playoffs. And I'd be curious to know if our listeners have as well at 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines, which is frustrating on May 22nd. Here was Mike Rizzo when asked about when is it time to wave the white flag on the Junkies.
Well, you don't wave the white flag on March 22nd in the winnable division. I will say that much.
May 22nd. So yeah,
it is right. May 22nd.
May 22nd. Right. May 22nd. That's not what we're going to do. We're here to win the National League East. We think it's a winnable division with the team that we have, with the talent level that we have, a talent level team that everybody in baseball picked to win or contend for the division with 90 to 92 wins by every prognostication that there was. That's what's in there. We got out of the gate slowly. The bullpen didn't perform early. There are a lot of injuries early, but we're getting whole again, and we're certainly going to see what this team can produce.
The hitting has picked up, Mike.
Let me
right?
Jump
like,
in
I think it's like maybe
quick.
Six
yeah,
of the last 7 games. I think
that's Rizzo's thought on basically, is it too late early, basically? Is it time to start thinking about, and they got into that line of questioning, because the point was, is it time to start thinking about if you're going to have to trade guys like Rendon or Eaton or Scherzer, your key veterans? So here's the question. Phones are going to be wide open for you next before we get to Reuben Foster's injury in the Redskins at 10:30. Do you still give the Nats a chance to make the playoffs, yes or no? It's only May 22nd, and there's not a juggernaut in the East. It's pretty clear at this point. But they're no good at this moment.
That's the key part.
I just don't know how you could look past the fact they have to get hot, right? They have to go on a quote-unquote big run. What have they done that gives you any confidence they can do that? 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny.
It's Grant and Danny for our pals at Window Nation. The weather's nice. Time to fire up that grill. Window Nation's ready to kick off summer with sizzling savings. You buy one, you get one free. That's right. Window Nation's absolute best offer is back. It is back, but only until May 31st. You buy one window, you get the second one free. You buy two, you get two free. You buy four, guess what you get? Four for free. There is no limit. Plus, you'll get 0% interest for 5 years.
Pretty impressive. There's even more to this smoking hot deal. Call today, get that free in-home quote. You'll get a pair of tickets to Hershey Park, which is an awesome thing to throw into the mix from Window Nation. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they can come out to your home. Pretty incredible. Get your estimate within 1 day of that call. Backed by Window Nation's A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Guaranteed the best value. This is why I made the call and Danny made the call, and we're better off for it.
Call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com. You got to do it by May 31st to get that great deal, and tell them Grant and Danny sent you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies today, and he said May 22nd is no time to wave the white flag, and he's right. His job and the job of the front office, the job of everybody over at Nationals Park in the executive suites, is to keep grinding away for a couple of more months and see if you can get back into the race by mid-July. Do everything you can to position yourself to be maybe 5 games back and go on a run. Being 9 games back of a Phillies team that blew another late lead last night against the Cubs, not the end of the world. It's not necessarily 9 games back against a team like the Dodgers or a team like the Yankees.
Or that is, Houston.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a juggernaut that's going to keep getting better. The bigger problem, though, is that the Nats just aren't very good. They're 24th out of 30 teams in earned run average. Their rotation right now is in shambles. You've got Eric Fetty, who made a start last night, so you're hoping for 5 decent innings at a time out of him. And then, say, Friday, when Jeremy Hellickson's supposed to pitch, we don't even know who's going to start. I think it might be one of their relievers from their great bullpen who gets stretched out, perhaps. I'm assuming Kyle McGowan is going to get that start. I don't know. I'm not really positive who's going to get that call. But I guess the point is rotation's not good, bullpen's not good, and that's why I don't think they can make a run. I'm saying no, they're not going to make the playoffs. I've kind of reserved myself to that. Doesn't mean I won't watch. You're in the same boat.
They need to go, basically, a .623 winning percentage the rest of the way. What about them gives
for
you
what math? What does that get them to?
90 wins.
Okay. I mean, you might win 86, 87, but yeah,
you could,
your point.
But I mean, Philadelphia's on 90 win pace. I mean, and they're not great. They're okay.
Yeah.
But they've proven to be the best of the bad, which is what this division is right now. I don't know what about them would inspire any sort of confidence that this is just guys will regress to the mean and just get, well, positively. This is a rudderless, sinking ship. Sometimes best laid plans don't work out. It was a decent plan to get Kyle Bearclaw, who, you know, had one great season, was mediocre last year, overall numbers-wise, but for very little, international bonus money, basically. Put him in a high-leverage role, oh my God. It was a decent idea to get Trevor
Rosenthal.
He was
in a high-leverage role his entire career. The difference was the Marlins weren't in the high-leverage
situation. Yeah, they weren't
situation.
As many good situations. It's a decent idea to get Trevor Rosenthal, a guy throwing 100 miles an hour. Well, he's down in double A right now, throwing the ball behind left-handed batters. They are a disaster. Their bullpen is so horrendous that kind of nothing else matters. And you're right about to point out starting pitching flaws or, you know, spots in the offense that some weak moments, et cetera. To me, this, I know what Mike Rizzo's saying. He should say that. He shouldn't say, hey, guys, we're punting on the year. Don't come to the park. He's not going to do that on the Junks. But to me, what I would do today, this isn't fair. I would let Davey Martinez go and just try one more thing to see if maybe I could have an injection of life. It's a last-ditch Hail Mary, but we're only in the second quarter. So let's see if that works, and if it doesn't, then we have to have those really, really, really tough conversations about selling, and that needs to come soon, in my opinion.
Yeah, I said at the beginning of the month when we had this conversation, I'll reassess Davey Martinez at the end of May. So you got one more week, and it doesn't look good for him at this point. We'll get to the calls right now, 800-636-1067. Firing Davey Martinez won't fix anything.
It probably won't.
However, at this point, a lot of people are just ready to make a move to make a move. And that's kind of what you're saying. You said it's not fair, he's not at fault, but I'll make the move. Some people are just willing to do that to see if anything changes, to see if maybe you get a little jolt for a few weeks from whoever your new manager is. I'm not making that change right now. Again, at the end of May is when I kind of assess those things at the one-third benchmark around Memorial Day generally. Tom in Manassas, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, very frustrating. The organization seems to be at a crossroads. And everybody I talk to say, well, the Dodgers were at this point last year. But that's an anomaly. That was a great team, back-to-back World Series. This ain't them. So my question is, dude, we're not developing any young pitchers. I'm already looking to the future. I'm fine with Davey, but so I guess I'm in sell mode already. We need to develop young pitchers and bring them up. And I know the analytics with the bullpen say not to spend a lot of money, I think just by the pure nature of the salaries of that position. But I think we need to start spending money on the bullpen and developing rotation. And I was looking for some insight into what we might have in the pipeline or how we can fill that pipeline. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, there's not much coming in the way of pitching. I mean, one guy to keep an eye on is Will Crows, 24 years old, and I was kind of hopeful maybe that he would get the call this week when they needed a spot start. Mike Rizzo did not float his name out there at all. They drafted a pitcher who's one of their top five prospects who hasn't thrown this year in Mason Denneberg, who you know is not right now on the field available. But there's not a lot right now in the pipeline. I'm curious to see if Seth Romero, who's pitched seven times at Hagerstown, can turn himself into a decent prospect. This is what happens when you spend some time over a few years contending, going and getting Melanson and Doolittle and Madsen. You give up Jesus Luzardo, who's a number two starter in the big leagues probably by the end of this season. You give up some high-end pieces. Everyone wanted them to trade Victor Robles last year for JT Realmuto. Thank God they didn't. You know, people said, well, trade Juan Soto. Go get fill-in-the-blank closer 2 years ago. Thank God they didn't. You know, now Carter Kieboom's the new guy. You want to trade him for something or you want to hang tight here? I would say hang tight because you're not going anywhere right now.
But they just, it's a big flaw right now that they have not graduated from their system a pitcher that has made a significant impact. Like, Eric Fetty's the best of that group here, and just because I'm basing that on last night's start, basically, and he's thrown a couple useful innings for them. It's been a real hole in their game of late. They've graduated plenty of position players. We're talking about re-signing Anthony Rendon.
They've
and
traded
Trey
a lot of those pitchers.
A lot of them they have traded.
Zach Eflin, Nick Pivetta from the Phillies rotation.
Sure.
You can kind of look around baseball and you go, oh, that guy was
that
in
was a former net. Robbie Ray's throwing
exactly.
Well. They've had arms. That's not to say they've never drafted
they've
an
arm. They've used their arms as capital and deals mostly.
They haven't had a guy come up through their system that's helped them. And you really see the weaknesses. Think about how bad these bullpens would have been without guys like Matt Albers. They don't have a version of Matt Albers this year. A guy off this year's Matt Albers was Dan Jennings, and he's already been DFA'd. They've neglected this. And just assume they could sort of fix it midstream. And sometimes it works out. Other times it's like this, where you don't get the lightning in a bottle of a guy that was just out there in the ether.
No. But this is, by the way, what every team's dealing with in their bullpen just about. The number of contenders with bad bullpens right now is almost identical to how many contenders there are. Like, the Phillies are in the same boat. The Braves in the division are in the same boat. The Mets bullpen last night gave up runs in the seventh, runs in the eighth. Stinks.
And they went and got Diaz, who's a stud, who hasn't been great for them.
I would say he's been pretty great.
He's been pretty good.
Edwin Diaz, I would
think they tried
what
to fix
done.
It is my point. Yeah.
But that said, arguing about that aside, bullpens are completely difficult to project and predict right now year to year. We have so many analytics and so much information that we're smarter than ever when we evaluate players. The one thing that teams can't figure out right now is relief pitching. Because it's just, it's one year guys can be great, the next year they're not. And it's based on usage. It's based on the arm. I had a conversation with Jim Bowden about this weekend, a longtime MLB GM, former executive of the year. He was the GM of the Nationals at one point. And he basically said, we treat these starters with so many rules and kid gloves, and we groom these guys, and we take care of their arms. He said, we don't do that with relievers at all. We run them into the ground. We pitch them three straight days and four straight days, and we get them up in the bullpen 13 games out of 15.
Oh, yeah.
And the next year, they stink because of it. We haven't figured out how to quite do that with relievers as an industry. And the Nationals are having a major issue. They're the worst bullpen in the sport, unequivocally. A lot of bad bullpens. They're the worst right now. Grant and Danny on the Fan, have you given up on the Nats? We'll do one more segment of your calls. Do you think they've got a shot to turn this around and get into the playoffs? Or well before June, are you already saying no chance? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Nationals used five relievers last night. Their ERAs, respectively, on the year. 6.2, 5.4, 8.3, 9.0, 4.6. Sounds like figure eight skating scoring when no one could agree. Grant and Danny, welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. The Nationals are 10 games below 500 for the first time in nine seasons. They are nine games back of the Phillies. Luckily, the Cubs beat the Phils in dramatic fashion last night, but that really doesn't matter the way the Nats are playing. Mike's in Philadelphia. We're letting you guys weigh in on whether or not the Nats are dead in the water. What's up, dude?
Hey, boys. Basically, the whole March and April correlation, the Nationals in the post-Nationals era, so like, you know, 2012 and on, every time they have a bad March/April, they don't make the playoffs. And every time they have a good one, they get right in. Everything's good. And, I mean, that's kind of a silly metric just because it hasn't been that long, and obviously you can overcome a bad April or March. But this team can't. And so I'm like you, Grant. I'll still watch. I'll still support. But I just, at the end of April, I was just like, there we go.
Yeah.
You know, like this dumb little metric's coming true once again.
I don't subscribe to that one. I get that that's the history for this team. I think it's a couple of times over the course of a few years, and I'm a big sample size guy. That said, there's plenty of reasons for me to watch. I'll still get a lot of joy out of watching Victor Robles track baseballs, Juan Soto hit bombs, Anthony Rendon's at bats or must-see TV. Max Scherzer pitches every fifth day, and Strasburg pitches every fifth day, and Corbin is going to be on the hill. So 60% of the time, I'm seeing a really good starting pitcher give you a chance to win a ball game, but doesn't mean I'm expecting them to go on a run. I think when you got a terrible bullpen and your rotation's three deep, you got no chance. Mark in Largo, how's it going?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Look, I think it's time. It's time. Dave has to go, and here's the reason that you have to really look at this whole situation with him. His one run losses are pathetic in the past year and a half, man. It's just, I've never seen a manager and a team lose more one run games with one person in my life. Never. I'm going to always watch the Nats. I've been watching the Nats since 2005, since they got here. I'm never going to give up on them. I love this team. But what I would like for them to do is do one or two things. Either go get Buck Showalter, who's a veteran manager who I think could do something and possibly make them have a chance of making the playoffs. Or go get Bo Porter. Bo Porter would be perfect. I don't know why they didn't get – I would have gave him the job before I would have gave Dave Martinez. At least Bo Porter is familiar with the farm system and everything else with the Nationals.
How familiar is he really at this point? He's been gone for seven years or something? He was managing the Astros since he left here.
I like Bo Porter, but I don't know if he's the panacea, but I am with Mark in the sense that this is not fair. This is pro sports, so you can put fairness right out the window. It's
right.
A results business, as everybody says all the time. The results aren't there. It's a last-ditch Hail Mary-type effort to try to inject some life, to try to get the dead cat bounce, or whatever the hell you want to call it. It's just not working. And the guy has been at the helm for a year and, you know, whatever you say, year and a quarter, because they just passed the 40-game mark, and it's not working. And if you believe, and if you're the front office or the ownership, that our team is good enough, now, I don't believe it, by the way, but they've got to believe it. They've got to double down in some way, at least for a short while, that they can get this turned around. I think you just do it. And you'd say, hey, with our apologies, buddy, you're going to get a year and a half's of salary. Go enjoy it on a beach somewhere. Sip some wine. You can commiserate with Dusty Baker on a conference call. This sucks. It ain't your fault, but here we are.
The Nationals were 11-11 on April 23rd, and at that point, it was, you know, they were gutting through a bunch of injuries, and the bullpen had been awful. The rest of the team had kind of been okay, and they were 500, and you felt like people were already worried, but this could be okay. They could get going. Since then, they are 8-18.
Wow.
To find themselves now 10 under 500 and 9 back. Let's go to Joe in D.C. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Let me just say, this is a good segment. I have a house in Washington, lived in Washington a long time, but I actually work in Atlanta. And it's interesting to hear people in Atlanta talk about how we just kind of forfeited our supremacy in the East. And I think they're talking about, you know, we went from Dusty Baker to a guy who's never managed a team. Most of the comments have been made that I would make, but I will just, I think it's a smell test. Does anybody see the playoffs playing as hard for Davey Martinez as they would, say, for a proven manager?
Yes, I think they're playing very hard. They came back last night from down a run in the eighth inning. They play very hard. They make stupid mistakes sometimes, trying to do too much on the base paths. I see them come back from deficits routinely. They've actually come back from more deficits after the seventh inning to win games than any team in baseball this year.
So you don't have what's happening in New York, where their highest paid player, Robinson Cano, is getting benched for not hustling.
Right.
You don't have those things happening here.
So that's one knock I just won't abide, is they don't play hard for this guy. I disagree with that completely. Don't think that that's me saying he should keep his job. I'm not advocating for that. Don't think that that's me saying he's a good manager. But the idea that the team's not playing hard, having this conversation specifically after last night when you took a 3-1 lead in the seventh, saw your bullpen, well, I won't say what I was going to say.
Yeah, I know.
Unzip their pants, take something out, and go all over your lead.
Yeah.
And then you got to get back up when you're down and go take another lead. You string together two extra base hits and three hits. You take another lead to win a game on the road. With your season maybe on the line coming apart at the seams, that's playing hard. This team plays hard. Don't mistake playing hard for a guy in Tanner Rainey who walks a lot of guys in the minor leagues coming up and walking two batters in a big spot last night. Throwing a 99-mile-an-hour fastball nobody can catch up to other than Pete Alonso that gets hit over top of the foul pole that may or may not have been fouled. That's not playing hard. You have a bad bullpen. You have two terrible starters in your rotation that give you no chance. That's not playing hard.
But the bigger sentiment, I would say, is when you go unproven, the Capitals did this a couple times, right? And it blew up on their face with Adam Oates. The Wizards did it, and it blew up in their face with inexperienced guys.
Critique.
It's a fair critique to say, we're going to go from 192 wins over 2 years, and yes, playoff disappointment and some embarrassing moments, without a doubt, we're going to go to a guy that's never done it.
Sure.
And that's a big,
you
better be right.
You went from a fringe Hall of Fame manager, who's not a very good in-game manager, makes it hard to win in the playoffs,
absolutely,
but he'll probably get you to the playoffs, to a guy that's never managed before. You better be right. I think that's more than fair to say you had the division wrapped around the neck. Now, people never look at the actual nuances. They're too busy, you know, talking about how great Dusty was and how bad Davey Martinez is. The division stunk a couple years ago when Dusty was running away with it. It doesn't anymore. You don't get 18 wins just rolling out the baseball against three teams in the division like you used to. The bullpen was better multiple years ago. The rotation with Gio before he fell apart and Roark before he regressed was much better at that time. So you're managing a better team. All factors here. Oh, by the way, Dusty's a better manager than Davey Martinez. I don't think anyone would dispute that. You didn't know that when you hired Davey.
Right.
I think you know it now. Chip and Burke, how are you?
Yeah, fellas, thanks for taking the call.
Hi, buddy.
I think the caller who said Bo Porter, I think that is an excellent opportunity for making a change. He knows this organization. I listened to him on the pregame, and his points are outstanding. So first off, I would say if you're making a change, Bull Porter would be a great almost in-house candidate. But I think the learners are holding this team
back.
Why
not Colco?
What's that?
Why not Dan Colco? He's on that show too.
Well, I just think that Bo has a little bit better experience base than Dan with regard to managing a team.
So Bo would be a better option than Dan if you had to go with
Bo
someone.
Bo has managed Major League Baseball.
Okay. Let me make a couple more points. I picked up on the previous caller. Look, I think a big part of this is psychology right now. I honestly think that a psychological surge could potentially lead to a performance change. I would first sign Anthony Rendon. Get the big question mark out of the way. Two, sign Craig Kimbrell. Sign Dallas Keuchel. But the psychology of signing Rendon would be huge. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
I'd love that. I mean, you're spending the learner's money, and you want to sign three players that could help you? Cool.
Sign me up for that.
That's not going to happen. But, yeah, to sign three talented baseball players would make this a better team. You don't have to worry about Rendon in the future. I think you're right. Psychologically, that's a big boost. Your rotation just got a lot better. You don't have to see Hellickson and or Sanchez every fifth day. That's awesome. Your bullpen just added a quality arm. Now, for the record, I would say that Craig Kimbrell coming in here would not give you Craig Kimbrell results this year because the history of relievers being signed in season is terrible. But you make the move now for next year probably. You're not signing him for this year anyway. You're not going to fix your problems this season as it is. Albert Breer's on the show at 11. The NFL is making some changes to whether or not you can challenge pass interference calls after what happened in the Saints and Rams NFC Championship game. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. I want to talk about Drake being insufferable next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Albert Breer's on Grant and Danny at 11 to discuss changing of the guard in the NFL on pass interference, challengeable and reviewable plays, when in games we'll be allowed to do that, how soon that could be coming to the league. We'll discuss that in 10 minutes at the top of the hour. Did you watch any of the Eastern Conference Final Game 4 last night?
Absolutely. Toronto, man. I was dead wrong. I thought they had shot their shot and that was going to be it. Milwaukee was rolling. They were great last night.
Kawhi Leonard's becoming a guy whatever you think of the Raptors needs to be thrown out because he's here now.
Yep.
And they're not going to be allowed to be themselves because he's going to buoy them every step of the way. He's a life vest at this point for them. I'd love to talk about the game. I can't because Drake made it all about himself all night.
I'm sure the coach needed a massage.
I partially blame the networks that broadcast these games. Mm. For putting him all over the screen. Am I alone? Tweet me, because we don't have time, and I don't want to take a whole lot of time taking calls on this. Please tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. When you watch these games, does anyone else get annoyed? I have a visceral reaction. For people that don't know, Drake, the performer, the rapper, I don't know what, it's not quite all rap. It's like
whatever
some humming and singing and auto-tune and nonsense, whatever it is that he does. By most accounts, very talented. I went to his show because of In We Go.
You had some In We Go.
I had the In We Go app, and I could go to any shows I wanted to, and I went to his show at Capital One Arena, and it was the worst thing I ever experienced in my life. I'm not exaggerating. Mm. It wasn't all his fault. A lot of it was other things that was going on, like in the arena that
ancillary
night.
Ancillary things, yeah.
But some of it was his fault. It sounded terrible. I was so miserable. I'll never forgive him for those 2 hours.
Sure.
That said, last night he's at one point massaging the head coach of the Raptors.
Nick Nurse.
He is walking on the court. Like, nobody cares. There's no rules for him. He's in the coaching area. He walks up and down the court when Giannis is shooting free throws and missing free throws. He's legit jumping around like Dwight Howard just won the dunk contest. At one point, he was doing this air guitar thing like 6 feet out on the floor where he's like strumming a fake guitar and like winding his arm like a windmill Bob Henley sending someone to home plate. I've never wanted to punch someone in the face more than last night watching Drake. Do you have any of that reaction at all?
Yes. Sit in your seat. You didn't make a shot. You didn't take a charge. You didn't rotate on defense. You didn't set a screen. Not about you. Now, people like it because he's famous and he likes Toronto, right? So the Toronto people think it's awesome.
I get the sense people love this.
But this all started with Spike Lee in New York. Spike Lee never played for the New York Knicks, and yet somehow was the story. When Reggie Miller is talking trash to him, or Scottie Pippen, probably the most disrespectful dunk in the history of mankind, if I may, where Scottie Pippen in transition banged one on the forehead of Patrick Ewing. Ewing falls backwards. Scottie Pippen straddle walks over him, and instead of yelling at Ewing, he walks over and yells at Spike Lee. And Spike Lee was like the trash talker.
Spike Lee talked S. I don't remember him on the floor.
No, but he became as much of the story as the Knicks. And that's my frustration in general. The story is the Toronto Raptors. The story is that Marc Gasol has played out of his mind for two games. The story is that Kawhi Leonard is great, that Pascal Siakam went from afterthought to just a juggernaut at times on the court, an unguardable, whirling dervish of blocks and weird, quirky shots, but they're fun. But Drake, it's constantly Drake. And the
coming back from breaks, going to breaks, it's like, and Drake is loving it. Enough.
I don't care if he loves
it. He's insufferable. This is unendurable. The coverage is embarrassing. Every look at Drake's reaction. I don't care.
But it's on the West Coast too. I mean, you go to a Laker game and like 90% of it is the guys in the stands, you know. But then Jack Nicholson sitting front row. It's his reaction where he stands up and claps wearing like a weird outfit.
But give me this.
So much less of that.
Give me this. So you're doing something that I agree with, which is you're saying let's get rid of celebrity reactions in general. Sign me up. I'm saying Drake is on a level we've never seen before.
So you're right. Jam at it.
Sits in six rows deep in the crowd, and the camera finds him, and he'll stand up and clap like every other fan in the building. Drake is in the damn huddle.
Yes.
Drake is walking up to Giannis as he's fouling out and like patting him on the ass.
But to me, this is like the millennial version of what we saw before. In the 90s, it's Jack Nicholson being like, man, it was a great shot. Whatever, right? Then you got Spike Lee yelling at somebody. The new version, the 2.0, the 2019, the Instagram version, the selfie version in the huddle is Drake. It sucks. There's going to be more. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Someone needs to have a talk with Drake. Sit down. You are not part of this game.
This is not your night, stupid.
Now, if you want basketball players at your concerts coming onto the stage and like interrupting dancers, I suppose we could have some quid pro quo.
I'm watching this right now, okay? So there's a three-pointer that's hit. The score is 96-82 with 9:34 to go in the fourth quarter. The Raptors hit a bank shot three-pointer, okay?
Fred Van Fleet banked it in.
The ball goes in on a bank. No chance he called bank. It's 99-82. Drake's, I'm so mad at this. His seat is the first seat past like a big advertising board that separates basically like the ownership group, probably like 10 well-dressed people, and then all the way down at the end, the Raptors bench, okay? Drake has come all the way down to like the ownership group, like 10 feet down the bench, and starts massaging the back of the head coach. What are we doing here? Kick him out. Get off of the floor. What about when someone like bumps into him or something because he's standing a foot onto the floor when the referee runs into him? If a fan was doing what he was doing, which is what he is, by the way, he's a fan. If a fan was doing that, some random ham and egger, you got tickets to the Raptors game last night and you did that, you'd have been ejected 15 times.
So I used to watch especially when I was doing nights, I would watch the, what was that thing called? Like the Streetball Tour on ESPN2, where it's like the thing, like Skip to My Lou started years ago, but it's like the guys going around. It's always brought to you by Mountain Dew Code Red. All these different guys who could do incredible things with the basketball, but weren't NBA players because they weren't tall enough or whatever, right? But the stuff they could do is wildly entertaining. When you go to those games and there's a guy on the court, the hype man, telling you what's happening. Like, well, this guy's going one-on-one. He's looking at it. What's he going to do? He crosses you up, and then he yells and, like, smacks you with a towel. fans run on the court when somebody dunks or someone does some sort of crazy thing. The professor goes between someone's legs or hot sauce dribbles off your forehead, violating whatever rules are. That's what that stuff should be reserved for.
Yeah.
That's fun. This is high-level Eastern Conference Finals.
Championships are on the line.
If people are going to tell me, call us grumpy old men and say, get off my lawn. Great. That's your prerogative. That's fine.
I'll gladly be no fun Paulson on this. Drake ruined my fun last night. He's no fun Drake. I'm trying to enjoy a basketball game, and I got to keep watching Stupid run around out there like he's in the Degrassi photo shoot. Enough, dude. Enough. No one else does this.
Good Degrassi pull, by
Thank
the way.
You. Nobody else does this. Nobody. Somehow, all these other celebrities that sit courtside, they just sit there and enjoy the damn game and eat their popcorn.
Don't touch the coach.
Please stop touching people. Please stop walking onto the court to high-five the players. Enough. Albert Breer of MMQB and Sports Illustrated next on Grant and Danny on the changing pass interference challengeable rules in the league.
Your home means everything to you, and your roof protects not only your home, but everything in it. Furniture, appliances, structure, and especially your family. Roofing Nation, we know that even the slightest roofing issue can create major, and we mean major, problems. Now the good news, Roofing Nation to the rescue. They've lowered the price on their highest quality GAF roofing systems for this one-time event. Listen to this. 36% off and 0% financing for 36 months.
Double the savings, 36% off, 0% financing, 3 full years. Save thousands. Not only do you save big on Superior Roofing, but you won't find a more reputable company than Roofing Nation. When it comes to home improvement, they use trust, training, transparency. Roofing Nation is going to give you all three on sale. These are our same friends from Window Nation who pride themselves on completing the project right the first time, like they did for me and Danny. Protect your home from mold, hidden damage, anything that a broken roof could cause. You got to call Roofing Nation today at 833-4NATION. 833-4NATION or go online at roofingnation.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.